The birth of a baby can trigger a jumble of powerful emotions, from excitement and joy to fear and anxiety. But it can also result in something you might not expect: depression. Most new moms experience postpartum baby blues after childbirth, which commonly include mood swings, crying spells, anxiety, and difficulty sleeping. Baby blues typically begin within the first 2 to 3 days after delivery and may last for up to 2 weeks. Postpartum depression isn't a character flaw or a weakness. Sometimes it's simply a complication of giving birth. If you have postpartum depression, prompt treatment can help you manage your symptoms and help you bond with your baby. Hi, welcome to another episode of the Lavender Fix podcast. I'm your host, Sabrine Hazik, and I'm back with another Lavender Maven today. Katie McHardy from Idaho, mama bear of 5 kids, 5 and under, happily married for the past 8 years, and a champion of empowering women to be more confident and unapologetic in their bodies and business. Today, we chat about Katie's mommy geniusness and wisdom about what her journey to motherhood has taught her about postpartum and how she's using that knowledge to spark joy in her community. Hi, Katie. Thank you for joining me. How are we doing today?
So good. It is sunny here today. We have, the snow is melting. So It's going to be a good day.
Yeah. I wish I could say the same, because yeah, it is. I don't even know where I am. Narnia. I don't know. It's just like so cold.
Oh, no. No.
So yeah, hope it gets, I think it's supposed to be sunny tomorrow. So hopefully it'll be better. It'll be a new day.
It will.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah.
So, Katie, really grateful that you took the time to be here. I have a bunch of questions for you. So I hope you are ready.
I am ready. Let's do it.
Let's do this. Okay. So, Katie, I know you have 4 kids, 5 and under. A moment of silence for your might and bravery. I know, or at least I've heard that, you know, life takes a very dramatic turn after you have kids. Your life kind of revolves around theirs. But what I'm really interested in knowing, to begin with, is who was Katie before motherhood?
I really appreciate this question.
Yeah.
Because I feel like so often moms get lost in motherhood and we kind of forget our identity and that we had a life before motherhood, even though it seems kind of like a blur. So I kind of bounced around when it came to college. I felt that was kind of like the expectation growing up, was that like you go to college, you get an education, and you know, you do all the things.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had a really hard time finding things that like interested me. So I kind of bounced around between majors, and I finally landed on occupational therapy. Mm-hmm. I loved the medical field, but the nursing programs are really competitive.
Right.
But I knew I wanted to serve and help people.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I was also working in a special education classroom in a high school.
Gotcha.
And it was just really eye-opening. So that's what I did. And kind of just finding like what I loved. Mm-hmm. And it was ultimately just like helping people, especially those who maybe just don't have a voice of their own, who need that little extra help, and just seeing them kind of like in their truest form. And it was right. just such a really powerful experience to be, mm-hmm. especially with children,
of course,
who so often have to have other people speak for them because
Absolutely.
They can't speak for themselves.
Absolutely.
So that's what I did, and then got married and had babies shortly after we got married. But
yeah.
I will forever remember just working with those children. They truly made like a huge impact on my life.
Right. Did you always know you wanted four kids?
In an ideal world, like that was like the dream. Like, oh, okay. If we could have four kids and if they could be, you know, if we could, you know, we would always talk about like ideally, like in a perfect world, that is what we wanted, but we kind of just took it kid by kid.
Gotcha.
And kind of just, you know, see like, how are we doing here? You know, what's happening with our family. It was the hope, and I'm really glad that we got there.
Yeah.
And now we're done. So. Yeah.
Awesome. I'm pretty sure you get asked, are you planning to have more kids? Because I think everyone is always so interested in just, I don't know, it's like
it's
a thing.
It's so funny. And yeah, no more kids. We're all done. I don't think physically or mentally I could handle another kid.
This shop is closed. Absolutely.
Yes, done.
Yeah. So, you know, pregnancy is, as you obviously, I definitely know more than I do because I don't have kids. But pregnancy is often associated with, of course, a positive change because you're growing a human, but also oftentimes a negative change in your body, especially postpartum, right? It's definitely stigmatized. Yeah. Right? The idea of what, you know, were you ever worried about what pregnancy might do to your body after four kids? Did it ever intimidate you?
Not in my first two pregnancies. Definitely, I think I had my first three kids back to back. And after my first daughter, like you're kind of just in this like blissful mindset, I guess. And, you know, that wasn't, you know, I kind of realized like, wow, like my body has really changed, but I didn't really like, it didn't affect me too much. Mm-hmm. But then the more I started having children and the more children I had closer together, it was really hard. Mm-hmm. And not realizing like the toll it took on my body until after I had my third baby. I literally looked in the mirror and I did not recognize myself. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't know who this person was because my body looked so different.
Right. And I think that's something that most new mothers experience, right? And of course, with more number of pregnancies, your body kind of goes through different kind of changes with each pregnancy. And of course, it shows, right? Now, let's talk about your brand on social media for a second. You know, you call yourself a postpartum cheerleader, which I think is so unique. But I'm sure that was not always the case, right? You must have had your lows. So tell me, how did your journey start? What pushed you to be more vocal about postpartum on Instagram?
This is an incredible question. Like I said, after my third baby, I really didn't recognize myself, and I was really, you know, kind of to the point where I'm like, I don't know if my body could handle one more baby, but there was always just kind of something inside of me.
Yeah.
That I'm like, there is another baby that needs to be a part of our family. And so my journey kind of just started. We had a really hard time getting pregnant with our fourth. And, I started just looking inward and really just realizing that I need to start taking care of myself. That I was putting all of my energy and all of my time into my children and then realizing that like there was nothing left for me. And I needed to kind of reverse that. I needed to start taking care of myself so that I could better take care of my children. So I started doing that, and I kind of started sharing my weight loss journey in order for us to kind of in hopes that would help us get pregnant. And that kind of just sparked something that people were really responsive to, you know, me being open about how I feel about my body and the changes that I wanted to make. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of a couple of years ago, but then recently, I just started looking around on social media and realizing that I didn't see women who looked like me. Mm-hmm. I didn't see women who were talking about, really anything postpartum. So much of it was just like the beautiful parts of postpartum. Yeah, and postpartum is beautiful, but not showing like the behind the scenes.
Gotcha.
Or talking about the behind the scenes or talking about the mental health aspect. Like, mm-hmm. I just didn't see any of that, or a lot of it, maybe a little bit here and there. And so I'm like, this has got to change. And I finally just stopped living my life for other people. And I wanted to be the voice for so many women who I know are suffering in silence. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be their voice. Right. So that was kind of the push.
How it started. No, that's so true. Because even just like outside of the whole motherhood journey, I look around and I just feel like, how the freaking hell does everyone look like they're riding a wave in Hawaii? Like this, they don't look
right.
They just look so perfect. And also, like, sometimes I really wonder, all these influencers, how are they traveling so much? How are they dressed up right? every day? How do they have those hairs? So I don't really know how what kind of voodoo it is. Yes. And how what they're drinking.
And like these beautiful nurseries and like these beautiful, you know, pictures afterwards. And I'm like, my kid sleeps, you know, my kid doesn't even have a nursery. My kids have never really had one. Like, that's not relatable for like 90% of the social media. A lot, everyone are just like moms just trying to keep their shit together.
Right.
Like that's reality. Is like, we are trying to like hold ourselves together by very small threads so that we don't lose it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's relatable and that's reality.
Right.
Like the nice pictures are beautiful, but then it's like, is it doing more harm than good? Because then we start comparing ourselves to being like, well, my kid doesn't have like matching, my kids aren't matching, or, you know, like, I don't have a beautiful nursery and I've got like milk stains and barf all over my shirt, you know, like it's hard to relate to
of
those
course.
Pictures.
I agree.
And not compare. Yeah.
I agree. And I think the whole concept of nursery is just so, I don't think anyone in my culture even understands that, just because when I came here, I always wondered why does a kid who doesn't really remember shit,
right.
Why does this little kid, what is this little kid going to do with this room? I mean, I might as well make this a study or like a den, or and this kid,
I completely agree.
This kid can sleep in a cot in my bedroom, period.
That is what all of my kids have done. Like
exactly.
My baby's in a bassinet. Like that's what you do. I don't want to get up and walk to another room to go feed the baby. Like I'd much rather just have them be right next to me and then
right.
I don't have to wake up and actually get out of bed.
Exactly. Right. No, okay. I'm really glad that even though I'm not a parent, we are on the same page in many ways.
Yes.
So Katie, you said something about, you know, having kids kind of took a toll on your body. Can you share how?
It took a toll in a lot of ways. I am, I'm very petite. I'm 5'1", barely. Mm-hmm. And I think probably like two big things that like I noticed the most was just like physically, like my belly will probably never look the same. Like your body goes through trauma. It is an actual trauma that your body goes through, not only to create this human being, but to birth the human being. Mm-hmm. That is actual trauma to your body. And I feel like sometimes no matter how hard we work, that trauma will always be there in some shape or form. And then mentally, your your body physically changes, and that includes like hormones and so many other things, like actually physically change to adapt to a baby and then afterwards. And it's amazing that sometimes even that adaptation can change something for postpartum. Mm. So like you may feel totally fine. You may have never had anxiety before. You may have never noticed, you know, other changes, but then after you have a baby, your body is now trying to heal and repair from that trauma. So for me, again, it was also like hormonally and mentally is probably the second toll on my body. Because I think those go hand in hand. Your mental state can affect your physical, and your physical can affect your mm-hmm. mental state. And not realizing like that those two go hand in hand.
Right.
It's powerful. Your brain is very powerful. Right, and the right. things that can affect your brain can also affect your physical state and how you treat and look at your body.
Mm-hmm. And you know, of course, all once you've given birth, your hormones all kind of, they're all over the place, and the levels takes a while to kind of equalize. And they say that, yeah. you know, for example, signs and symptoms of baby blues, which last only a few days to a week or two after your baby is born, and even longer for a lot of women, you yeah. know, includes like mood swings and anxiety, sadness, feeling overwhelmed, crying. What was it like for you? Was it the same with each pregnancy? Or did you feel like every pregnancy was different?
Every pregnancy was a little bit different. I honestly, in my experience, it got worse with each baby mm-hmm. because not only was I now, like with my first one, I felt like I was able to recognize it, but I only had one little baby to take care of. Mm-hmm. So like, I felt like I could also take care of myself really well, because it mm-hmm. was just me and her. But the more kids I had, it got harder and harder to not only take care of a baby, but another child and myself. Mm. And so with that, the postpartum depression and anxiety started lasting longer. Gotcha. And the symptoms were enhanced, especially the feelings of overwhelm, and the anxiety, the postpartum anxiety, which I didn't really know was a thing, became so like slapping me in the face mm-hmm. that there are so many other symptoms along with anxiety. So sadly, it got worse with each kid, but mm-hmm. gratefully, I have an incredible husband who does help, but it's still not the same.
Yeah, of
it's
course.
Still
of course.
Not the same. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, when a newborn is kind of brought into the world, mothers experience a floodgate of emotions. Like I was saying, you know, excitement and jitters and joy all yes. at the same time, right? But the beautiful yes. milestone of, you know, a birth may trigger other feelings for new moms: isolation, numbness, hopelessness. And there is almost like a deepening silence around these feelings and a generalized,
yes.
you know, a generalized stigma surrounding a prevalent almost maternal illness, which people say is postpartum depression, right? Mm-hmm. Despite its prevalence and the fact that it is highly treatable, postpartum depression is, I think, one of the most misunderstood illnesses, right?
So most
mothers aren't really getting the help they desperately need due to the misconceptions about postpartum depression and what it really is, especially in my culture. Like, there is no concept of mental health. And, you know, in America, like I've seen a lot of celebrities like Chrissy Teigen, Serena Williams and Adele have kind of opened up about their battle with postpartum depression, encouraging new mothers to reach out to their mental health, to get their mental health back on track. So, Katie, why do you think postpartum is, related anxiety or depression is so stigmatized, when in fact it's the most naturally occurring thing?
I was talking to some other moms about this, that us as moms, we put this pressure, or sometimes societal pressure, on ourselves, kind of like what we were talking about earlier, that we have to do everything, that we have to have everything together, and if we don't, we're a failure, and that we have failed. And I think that just ties right in there. Like, if we admit that we are feeling these things, or that we don't have it together, we have failed as a mom, we have failed our children, we have failed just in life. And then it creates kind of this negative mindset spiral that we just go down and down and down. And then it's a very hard place to come out of, because all you can think about is that we're not enough, and that we're not worthy, and it creates all of these feelings of unworthiness, or that of overwhelm, and it really just breaks my heart, because women just, if they the and it, there's shame and guilt in acknowledging that. And I don't know why, true, other than the pressure, why it's there, why there's so much shame and guilt there, when in fact, just acknowledging it and sometimes asking for help is so powerful. And it's like that is the best place to start, is even acknowledging it, because then you can kind of recognize the triggers. But sometimes we don't even want to acknowledge it, and we push it away, and then it gets worse.
And you brought up something really interesting even a few moments ago. You said that, after you had kids, you did not find anyone you could really relate with on social media because, one, nobody really looked like you, and second, everyone's life seemed to be really perfect. And so comparing yourself to that perfect mother who has a nursery ready and who's working and hustling and taking Pinteresty photographs, and of course, and then let's talk about, the whole bloody snapback game. It's a whole thing on social media, where women are expected to bounce back to their pre-pregnancy weight right after birth. And let's be honest, like, Hollywood does not help the situation, right? Expecting yourself to be red carpet ready soon after delivering your baby is unrealistic for the normal everyday woman. And in truth, it's not even normal for celebrities. So what is your take on this culture with social media being the main perpetrator?
Oh, this fires me up, because it's so hard, because after you have a baby, like, you do kind of want to feel somewhat normal and kind of feel somewhat like yourself. We don't give ourselves and our bodies enough grace. Like, give yourself a minute to just relax. Give yourself a minute and give some grace to just be present and be in the moment. Like I said, your body has gone through like such trauma, that it's okay that you don't look like you did pre-pregnancy. Like, it really is okay. Like, you are now a different person than you were like 9 months, a year ago. You're now a different person. You have experienced, something so amazing. And it's okay now that your body looks a little bit different.
And Katie, to your point, I also feel like your body hasn't really left you. It's still there, but like to expect that you will look exact, like, honestly, Katie, I know friends who have never looked so good. Like, they became more health conscious after they had kids because they felt like they had to do it in order, and they look their best now, and I think first up, it's also helpful to know for anyone who's expecting or for anyone who is kind of has that fear, it's helpful to know why women gain weight during pregnancy. there's the obvious, you're harboring a little human inside your belly. So yes,
right.
Some of the weight comes from growing the baby. But also your body will be storing fat in preparation for making milk after your baby is born. And there's extra fluid to support circulation, the placenta, mm-hmm. the amniotic fluid. This is partly why most of the weight gain during pregnancy occurs after week 20, right? And
yeah.
Weight gain is important and natural part of pregnancy. You know, you gain too little or equally or too much, you could be putting yourself and your unborn baby at risk of health problems. And so one question that I have, which I've always wanted to ask people, but I've always been on the fence because, you know, you don't want to. Do you feel like weight gain during pregnancy is often confused with getting fat instead of quite simply just being pregnant? You're not fat. You're pregnant.
Yes. Because, and I even talked to my midwife about this, especially with my first, because they put such a, they put you in a box when you're pregnant that yeah. like, oh, you should only, based on your, you know, height, you should only gain this amount of weight.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because that's what is the norm.
Mm.
And so then I feel like there's this added pressure, like, oh, if I gain like 10 pounds extra, like it's horrible. Like
yeah.
they put you in a box, and then I feel like that creates more pressure. And then you're constantly thinking about your weight or about yourself in kind of that negative context, where instead, if you can just, you know, be conscious of what you're doing being pregnant and have an open discussion with your midwife or OB or whoever you see, and just have that open conversation being like, hey, I'm, you know, this is where I'm at, this is kind of where I'm feeling, then I feel like that creates a more positive outlook or perspective on your weight when it comes to pregnancy, because everyone carries babies differently,
right.
and everybody's bodies adapt differently when you're pregnant, and especially when you get into like second, third, and multiple pregnancies, your body again has to adapt in different ways. And so, yeah, I feel like it's just when you're put in a box or when you're, you know, kind of told you can only do this, then it creates such as just a negative energy around this beautiful time.
Right, right. And then, of course, like, you know, going back to the whole snapback discussion on social media, I think, you know, if you really want to survive the whole snapback BS on social, especially if you're someone who is prone to feeling prone to feelings of inadequacy on social media, do you think, Kiri, that it can help to take almost a digital detox after the birth of your baby for a couple of weeks to gain perspective? Or do you think that there is some normalcy around postpartum now where women can be themselves online after giving birth?
I'm going to say yes to both questions.
Okay.
I feel like it is, like, I even now take digital detoxes, you know, sometimes for a day or two, just because it is so overwhelming. And especially like right after you have a baby, you, like we talked about, there are so many emotions and feelings going on that, like, give yourself some time to get back into maybe like a rhythm, get back into kind of a schedule. Like, those first couple weeks are really hard.
Right.
You're trying to figure out a schedule with you and your baby and nursing. Your husband may or may not, you know, be home or helping, or he is going back to work, and maybe you've got other kids that you're trying to help normalize now with a new person in your home. And I think you'll just have to like constantly check yourself, that if you are on social media after you have a baby, then check in on yourself and being like, am I feeling these certain ways when I'm on social media? Is social media triggering me in a negative experience or in a negative way? And if that's the case, then recognize that and be like, okay, I just need to take a step back for just a minute and kind of put down my phone. Because in reality, that really is okay.
Yeah.
And that might help you keep your postpartum depression and anxiety in check, because right. then you're not constantly comparing and you're not having those feelings of keeping up with the Joneses, or, you know, you're not the Pinterest mom.
Yep.
Those feelings will kind of, because you'll be in your space, and your space is really all that matters
right.
with this new one.
Right. And Katie, there's the social media pressure, and then there's like more of a societal angle, right? Society has so many expectations, as you were rightly saying a few minutes ago. You know, you said, you know, for mom, there are these unrealistic expectations that always breastfeed, ditch the bottle, but never breastfeed in public. always put your kids first. All of your fun ends with your first child. Go back to work or don't go back to work. You know, there's enough guilt to go around for everybody. So what are some of the added factors that make a new mom's postpartum journey really hard, and what can help? I know that's...
I honestly think... No, I just... This is kind of where social media detox would kind of... that. This is where it kind of plays in, because everyone has an opinion. And then, you know, if you've got lots of people having the same opinion, then you're like... Then you start questioning your own. And in reality, like... your mommy instincts and your mommy gut is really like the most important. Like, you have been given everything to take care of this baby. There are, you know, if you're a first time mom or, you know, other things, like there are some times where like I question, I'm like, is this okay? You know, like, is this something that we should bring up? And if that's the case, like, again, that's your mommy instincts. Like, listen to your mommy instincts, listen to your mommy gut, and then go from there. And, you know, don't go to doctor, do Google right away, because then there's more opinions from so many people.
Right.
Reach out maybe to like close friends, you know, who you have like a really good relationship with that you can trust to give you an honest opinion, or reach out to a pediatrician or a midwife, you know, who can give you kind of like a maybe unbiased or a, you know, a broad opinion, and then you can go from there.
Right.
I feel like that helps, especially when you're a brand new mama, like just listen to your instincts and your gut, and kind of just shut out the world for a little bit until you can kind of just figure it out.
Yeah. And so I'm curious to know, Katie, have you ever, I mean, obviously you have great influence on social and you have a really large audience, which is something we'll talk about in a second. But can you share an example of a situation or a comment that someone made that really challenged your emotional boundaries?
Yes.
Several.
I made a reel that was, making fun of myself.
Yeah.
It was a reel talking about how I, you know, how kind of I felt about women who do bounce back really quickly. But it was made to make fun of me, how I'm, you know, I get really jealous of women who do bounce back really quickly and who
yeah.
don't even look like they had a baby. And that was very controversial. And I got a lot of very, very hard comments, even from friends that I know and that I've known for a really long time, just saying that, like, I was, you know, I was being so mean and so rude and, you know, saying all of these things. And it was, I had to stop looking at the comments on this reel because it went viral. And a lot of opinions were coming in about this, because it was kind of a touchy subject, but it was, right. you know, but I was, you know, it was hard because it was about me, but other people were making it about them.
Right.
And so it just made it made it really hard, but you know, at the end of the day, it was relatable to a lot of people. And that's what I kind of had to remind myself that like a lot of women feel this way and this is what I'm here to do and share. So I just had to constantly keep myself in check be like, you know what? It's okay.
Of course. And you know, Katie, body imaging is obviously a sensitive topic and people tend to take away, like the takeaways from a message is usually dictated by their perception of their own body image, right? So let's rewind for a bit and kind of revisit the body image talk. Each time you gave birth, obviously that reel was very relevant to your personal experience because you felt like you weren't quote-unquote bouncing back like these other some of these other moms were, and this is not to say that they had it easy at all, like they probably had other things that were on their mind,
right, exactly.
So each time you gave birth, what was the afterthought? Did you look at yourself in the mirror each time and feel out of place, or did you feel like there was light at the end of the tunnel?
My first two, I felt like it was easier to see a light at the end of the tunnel. But after my third, it was really hard. It was, like I said earlier, he was my hardest pregnancy. He was my hardest delivery. It was just overall really, really hard with him. Mm-hmm. And I honestly didn't know if there was a light at the end of the tunnel. I didn't know. And with my last one, she's like almost 4 months old. I kind of was just like, I've got to break this. I've got to stop. I've got to start loving myself in the moment. Each day, loving myself or finding parts of me that I can love and, you know, not wish away, but take it just one day at a time.
Right.
And it changed my mindset about postpartum bodies and how I look after having four babies and realizing that like this is me right now and I love me right now and I hope that it will continue to get better. But right. I love me right here and right now, and that's where I'm.
That is amazing. And it takes a lot. It takes a lot of maturity to get there. So, who would you credit with, you know, for providing you with the support you really needed in your postpartum recovery each time?
I definitely want to credit my husband. He is a very hands-on dad. And I know that is not the case for a lot of women.
Oh, yes, of course.
So I feel very, very blessed that I have a husband who is very hands-on and who is willing to, you know, take the older kids while I'm with the baby or to, you know, wake up in the middle of the night with me or, you know, take turns or just have that open communication of like, I need a break when you get home.
Like, yeah, of course.
Opening up that conversation because he is also a dad and, you know, it's part of his, we're doing this together.
Oh my God. You know, as you're saying this, the one thing that comes to my mind is, especially in my culture, the most annoying bloody thing is they think that the dad is a babysitter and he will help you.
Yes.
But God forbid if you leave your kid behind with the father, like you left. I'm like, yeah, I mean, unless you
it's
had
so
a kid.
Heartbreaking to me.
Yeah.
It's so heartbreaking. I have so many friends whose husbands are not involved at all. And it literally just breaks my heart that they're not supported by someone who contributed.
I mean, or maybe not. Maybe like these kids were born through Wi-Fi. I don't know. Just weird, right? Like, why does this person not want to change their diapers? Why is this? You're not.
I know.
You're a full parent.
And, And I do feel also lucky, like I do have family who lives close. And so that has really helped. But if you don't have family who is close to you, make your own, create your own family with friends.
Absolutely.
Who you know and trust, because like it really does take a village. To like, I even still need help. I'm like, you know, just because I'm a mom of four, you know, doesn't mean I don't need help. Like, I still do need help, like even more so sometimes, like, but it really just does take a village, and it takes you being willing to just open your mouth and being like, hey, can you take my kids so that I can shower? Hey, can we do a play date so that my kids can get some energy out? Like,
yeah.
Just creating your own family or your own community of people who you know have your back and are so willing to help when you need it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, Katie, going back to your Instagram for a second here, I recently saw a post that said that postpartum is miserable and magical. So I thought that was really interesting and so true. So talk to me a little bit about that sentiment.
It's one of those things that it's like, it's so hard because you don't know what you're doing most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how to feel. You've got so many emotions running through you. It's so hard to like express yourself or, you know, talk to anyone about how you're feeling or what you're going through. But then you look at like this magic thing. You look at this, you know, human that you created, and you can't help but feel just like utter joy and like true bliss because you have like this absolutely perfect little human. Mm-hmm. So it's one of these like double-edged swords that like it is so magical in so many ways, but we also have to recognize that it can be miserable, and that's okay. It is okay to be miserable, and it is okay to recognize that it is freaking hard.
Absolutely. And I mean,
the heart isn't going to last forever. It's not going to last forever, but recognizing and admitting that it's hard, it's okay to do that. It's totally okay to do that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, thank goodness that I'm not a parent yet. Or I don't know if I will ever get there, just because I am on the fence. But I have to say, you know, where I come from, and I don't know if this is something that happens here as well, people tell women in my culture, you don't have to focus on looking good after you've gotten married and had kids, because who are you trying to please? As if like women are like baby vessels, right? I know that the focus kind of shifts to the baby, but that's not true just for the mom. Even for the guy, the focus has to shift to the baby. It's easy to get lost in motherhood, as you say. But how important is it, in your opinion, to push through the clutter and live life again and take care of your body, your skin, working out, losing the baby weight, all those things?
I feel like it's really important. Sometimes even just getting dressed, mm-hmm. like changing your clothes, even if it's the same clothes, that act of like taking 5 minutes to get dressed, brush your teeth, brush your hair, sometimes that is huge. Because it really is so easy to get lost in motherhood. And like I said, I became so like almost broken because I was constantly giving and giving of myself to other people that I was no longer like happy. Like I wasn't happy, and I didn't recognize that because I'm a pretty happy person. I'm a pretty bubbly, like yellow personality.
Yeah.
But when I was constantly giving and giving and giving, it was just, it took like the life out of me. But when I when I just would take like 5-10 minutes. It doesn't have to be a long time. It doesn't have to be like this grandiose thing. But just knowing that I am taking however long to just focus on me and not be selfish or feel guilty about it, mm-hmm. it changes my day. Like, right. I can honestly tell a difference between the days where, like, I don't get ready and the days that I do. Like, us as moms, we're the energy of the home.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We put that out there. And so, like, if you're constantly in that energy of just kind of, like, blah and giving to other people, your home will feel like that. Your kids will feel that, and your husband will, or your partner will feel that. But if you make that shift and that energy to, like, I'm taking care of myself so that I can be a better parent and a better mom in whatever way that looks like for you, whether it is working out, whether it is getting ready, whether it's, you know, cleaning, whatever it may be that, like, fills your yeah. cup, the more you fill your cup, you will overflow and be able to fill those cups without feeling so depleted.
Right. No, I love that. I love that analogy that you just used, you know, filling your own cup. So speaking of that, you're obviously putting out really good energy by filling your cup on social. People are clearly very receptive to your content. So when did you kind of notice that you were growing on Instagram, and what led to that growth?
Me and a bunch of friends of mine, we kind of challenged each other to do a reel a day on Instagram, mm-hmm. because reels are fun, and it's new. And so we were like, well, we could do that. But the catch was, you had to kind of niche down and get really specific with your content, mm-hmm. and the reels. And so that's kind of where I was like, this is the perfect opportunity to talk about postpartum and kind mm-hmm. of real mom life. Like, I was doing some, like, really funny, just like real life mom reels that could also relate to moms being like, I'm going freaking crazy. Like, my kids are driving me nuts. And just being, like, honest and open about that. And that's really where I saw growth. I did a reel a day in January, and my account doubled. Mm-hmm. But really getting specific and purposeful about what I was sharing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as a social media manager, I agree. I probably need to consult with you after this episode to just, yeah, I need some lessons from you. But no, thank you for sharing that. I agree. Reels are, like, huge right now. Yeah. So I'm going to pivot to a slightly different topic, but still related, which is, you know, I mean, one, you've already talked about social and how your presence, you know, sometimes you're under pressure to say the right thing. And even when you say something that you feel is appropriate, people take it the wrong way, you know, similar to the example you shared. But really, you know, for example, talking about bodies, right? Body imaging yeah. is something that really starts right from childhood. It's all yeah. the insecurities that we are fed by our ecosystem. At least for me, that's very true. Did you have a healthy environment full of kind of positive affirmations growing up?
No.
All right, then.
I didn't. Sadly, it was quite the opposite. And that was hard growing up. My mom was always talking negative about her body, and mm-hmm. she still does to this day, constantly saying how fat she is, saying how ugly she is, saying, you know, all of just these horrible things about her body. And as little kids, they're sponges. And I was soaking that up because that's all I heard and saw. Mm. And I have the same body type as my mom. And so as a little girl, I'm like, well, if I look like my mom, like, I must be those things. Mm-hmm. You know, I must be fat and ugly, and it must be really hard to find clothes that fit me. It must be really hard to love myself, because mm-hmm. if my mom is saying these things, then, you know, it must be true. Like, mm-hmm. And that it's so hard, especially as a little right. girl. And I think boys too, but like little girls, with how, again, there's so much societal pressure
right, absolutely.
On our bodies, and how important it is that, I don't know. I agree. It's so hard.
Actually, like growing up, I was consistently told that I'm not a good looking girl. Consistently. Mm-hmm. Like every other day I was told that you really need to do something with your life because you're not getting anywhere with that face. I just kind of like, it was a constant. And to this day, like if someone tells me I'm looking cute, I'm like, haha, great.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
hard for me to take a compliment. Now that you are a mother, how important do you think body positivity is when it comes to educating your kids to help them feel more confident? How can we as a community not repeat the same mistakes our parents made?
Oh, it is so, so important. Because I want my daughters and my sons, I want my daughters to know that their beauty is not determined by other people's opinions or by what is out on social media, but that, like, her beauty and my daughter's beauties come from within, and who they are and their mind and their creativity and those things. Like, that is what makes my children beautiful. And I want mm-hmm. my sons to know that, like, the same thing on how to treat a woman and how to respect a woman growing up, and just to be that kind of man who's loves someone regardless of her body type, mm-hmm. but he can see her personality. He can see her for who she truly is. Because I think that is so important is one, like, I don't, like, even if I am having kind of a bad body day, I don't want my daughters to, if they do hear it, that they know that it's okay to feel that way, but that we can not sit in it. If that
right.
makes sense.
But absolutely,
like,
yeah.
It's okay to feel uncomfortable in your body. It's okay to have these feelings, but to acknowledge them and be like, hey, like, I'm feeling this way. This is how I'm going to change it. This mm-hmm. is how I'm going to move forward in that. So that mm-hmm. if my daughter is coming to me and she has these feelings, like, I'm not going to shame her for her feeling that way. I'm not going to mm-hmm. tell her, like, stop feeling that way, you
absolutely.
Know, but like helping her acknowledge, like, okay, it's okay. We're having these feelings. Like, how can I help you? What's triggering these feelings? Where are these feelings coming from? And
right.
then we can address it from there. So mm-hmm. if we're having those feelings, that's okay, but not shaming them for having those feelings, and not shaming us mm-hmm. for having those feelings. But how can we change the mindset? What can we do to make the change?
Right. Do you have, Katie, do you have a message for all the body shamers and mom shamers and haters? Yes.
If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all.
You are very polite,
Isn't
I have
that
to say.
What we're told growing up, like, if you don't have anything nice to say, like,
shut up.
Just keep your mouth shut.
Exactly. Exactly. If you could turn time back, would you change anything about your postpartum journey?
I wish that I would have spoken up earlier.
Okay. Yeah.
I wish that I would have acknowledged how I was feeling before it got, like, really bad. Mm-hmm. Because I'm one to hide and kind of push down my feelings because I don't want to be a burden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a hard time asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
But like as a new mom, I wish I would have talked about it earlier, or, you know, shared how I was feeling, from the beginning instead of, you know, like 6 months, a year down the road, like, oh yeah, I was feeling that way back then. And they're like, well, why didn't you say something?
Right.
So I wish I would have talked about it at an earlier stage.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I sometimes feel like I should have started this podcast sooner and we could have connected sooner and, you know, we could have talked about all these things. No, I agree with that. Yeah. All right, Katie. So we've reached the saucy section. I don't know why I said that. What advice do you have for new moms or moms in general who are talking themselves down, comparing themselves to other moms, or are experiencing baby blues or postpartum depression? What can help soothe the anxiety so they can start feeling like themselves again? So that's one part. And what advice do you have for people who are watching their partner deal with postpartum depression? How can they help?
All right. So advice for moms. Here are three things
mm-hmm.
that have made a huge difference for me.
Mm-hmm.
Advice number one, try and get outside every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Feel the sunshine, that fresh air, because when you've got a new baby, you kind of feel like claustrophobic in your home. So even just stepping outside and taking like a few deep breaths and getting that fresh air can really kind of just restart you a little bit. So that's advice number one. Advice number two is use your voice. Communicate. Talk with someone, whether it is your spouse or partner, OB or midwife, or a friend. Just talk, because sometimes talking about it can kind of relieve that,
mm-hmm.
And kind of just allow your body to relax a little bit. Because sometimes when you talk about it, you can kind of recognize like that what you're saying and feeling is kind of like, oh, you know, you
yeah.
kind of start to, you can recognize more things as you talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So just use your voice and talk about it. And then number three is, this is going to sound kind of like woo-woo or voodoo or whatever, but I promise it works.
Okay.
And it's going to feel really awkward when you start, but if you continue to do it, I know it will make a difference. So number three is having manifestations, affirmations, and or I am statements. And either writing them down on a mirror or a sticky note or having it on your lock screen on your phone so that you can see those affirmations every single day, that you can look in the mirror and you can say these I am statements. So I am statements like I am beautiful, because there's no but afterwards. These are truths. I am beautiful. I am confident. I am patient with my children.
Mm-hmm.
I am learning. I am doing whatever. So changing your mindset by doing these affirmations or I am statements, kind of just, while you may not believe it in the beginning, the more you say it and you kind of look at yourself in the mirror, the more confident you will get.
Mm-hmm.
So those are my three pieces of advice for moms, new moms, anyone who's kind of just struggling. Hopefully those will help.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of pieces of advice for partners. Advice number one, I think the communication comes over to here, is don't be afraid to talk to your wife or your partner, and just, but do it out of love. Come to them and say, I love you, because this is what my husband did for me. He noticed that I wasn't myself, and he did it out of love. And he was just, you know, saying, I'm really kind of worried about you. What can I do to help? Mm-hmm. Or sometimes, you know, don't give them an ultimatum. Be like, I am taking the baby so you can go shower. Mm-hmm. Don't let your wife talk herself out of it. Mm-hmm. Tell her, I am going to take the kids. You are going to go for a drive. Mm-hmm. I am going to cook dinner so that you can go shower. Because if you give her, you know, sometimes what can I do helps, but if you kind of give her an ultimatum, then she can't back out of it and she'll thank you later.
Yeah.
And then, so I think that kind of, I think, and then advice number two is just be the partner. Mm-hmm. Be the partner. Be involved as much as you possibly can. You know, just be there for her, and know that you have her back in whatever way that means. Mm-hmm. for your family, but just knowing that she has someone in her circle and in her corner is huge.
Absolutely. And those are just, I feel like it's just so relatable, even outside of the discussion we're having today, right? Yeah. Very applicable pieces of advice, even to just someone who's not a parent. Like every single day, remind right. yourself of how awesome you are, and be a supportive partner and be an equal, right? Katie, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today. This was an excellent and much needed discussion. If you're a new mom, and if you're listening to this right now, take it easy, take it slow, give yourself more credit. You'll feel like yourself again, but give it time. Don't succumb to the social pressure. And I would like to give also a huge shout out to our listeners for tuning in. Please go and subscribe to the podcast, rate it, review it. The Lavender Fix is available on 12 different platforms. So please share the love. And I will see you guys next week. Till then, chin up.